So what we're looking at today and what we've been looking at for the past couple of weeks is Christian discipleship. Christian discipleship. And I just want to just give us a background a bit. But I don't know what goes through your mind when you hear the word Christian discipleship. Well, what usually goes through my mind when I hear that or when I've heard that in the past is a group of people sat in a class and it's a Sunday or a Wednesday or there's like a special day for it and you're taken through different parts of the Bible. You're taught about, you know, what it means to be a Christian, so on and so forth, which is great. But today I just want to look at it from a slightly different perspective as we've been doing for the past few weeks. And the first thing I mentioned when we started was the fact that the background to this is the fact that God has a plan for every single one of us. We looked at Jeremiah chapter 29:11. We don't have to turn there. And in Jeremiah chapter 29:11, God says there, and that relates to every one of us. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. God says, actually, you can put it on. Plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. So what that means is that for every single one of us that is alive today, you're not just a random person walking around the earth who God has no interest in. God has a plan for every single human being, every individual human being. So it's the background, this is the backdrop to say that if God has a plan for you, discipleship is number one, getting to know God and working in that plan. And that goes beyond just sitting down in a class or a few classes and going through the different parts of the Bible. That's part of it, which is great, but it goes beyond that. All right. So that's the background that we're looking at, that's forming the background of discipleship that we're looking at. But today I'm focusing on a particular area, and I've called that knowing God as part of discipleship. Knowing God. Now, I'll be looking at a couple of pointers today, but the first thing I want to start by saying today is to remind us that Christianity, our faith as Christians, is not just based on doing things. I know sometimes when you've just become a Christian or as a Christian, you're going about your daily life, and anytime God comes to your mind sometimes, or discipleship or the church, automatically, what comes to our minds a lot of the times is, I need to do something. I need to do this. I need to do that, which is great. But our relationship with God is not just about doing things. I gave us an example last week, or the week before. And I said, it would have been really weird if when I met my wife 24 so years ago, we got married. And after we got married, every morning or any conversation I have with her is not saying, hello, dear, how are you doing? I'm not finding out about that. All I'm saying is, okay, it's breakfast. Can I have my breakfast, please? Then after she's finished the breakfast, can you get my lunch ready? Can you do this for me? I need that thing, you know. And the only conversation I'm having with her is, can you do this for me? Do this for me. I'm sure you'll get to a point where she'll just say, hang on there. I don't think I got married to you because you wanted someone to just do stuff for you. No. Do you understand? Or let's look at it the other way around as well. Let's say we got married and I go to her. And I'm just about to say, hello, dear. I hope you had a good night's rest. And she tells me, you know what? I need to buy X, Y, and Z. This is my shopping list. Before I can even put a word there, can you get this for me? Can you transfer this? Can you, you know? And it's all about doing. I don't think that would be a very, very healthy relationship. Now, why am I using this analogy? I'm using this analogy because it's the same thing with God. God wants you to have the conversation with him as a person. Now, the challenge is we don't see God physically. Do you understand? So I think that's a challenge. He doesn't want our conversations to be doing stuff all the time. And that's what it's all based on. All right. So that's the background. So I'm going to look at a couple of points this morning around knowing God. Now, the first thing I've put here is that the primary aim of discipleship is knowing God. Now, that might sound like really simple. Are you telling me? I mean, what does it really mean, knowing God? Isn't that, you know, what does that mean? If we look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the famous Apostle Paul said something. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Apostle Paul said something there. This is someone who preached the gospel around the world. I mean, in those days, we didn't have aeroplanes. There were no, the only means of transportation was horseback, cattleback. And this guy traveled all over the world on God's behalf, preaching the gospel. But he said something that points us to the fact that our relationship with God is not just doing stuff. And he says here, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so on and so forth. But Paul makes the point here that even after all these things I've done, even after all these things I've preached, I mean, this is someone that God used to write a large section of the New Testament. He came back to one point, and the point was this, that he may know Christ more. Do you understand? Jesus also said something in John chapter 17, verse 3. We're talking about the fact that discipleship is primarily about knowing God. John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus said something to his disciples there. And this was quite important. He said something. He said, now, this is eternal life. Now, if I were to ask you, what is eternal life? You probably might say it's when you die as a Christian, then you go to be in heaven, or so on and so forth. But Jesus said something about eternal life. He says, now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So we begin to see something here, that even Jesus made a point here, that when we're on earth here, what God values the most as part of discipleship, or as part of anything, is that we know him. The same way that you visit your friends, the same way that you have some favorite friends that you like to, you know, speak with, that you want to get to know. God is a person. Not like us physically. So he's not just there, distant, or, you know, wanting to be just at a big distance from us. No. God is our Father, and he wants us to know him. Do you understand? Like you would know a friend, or like you would know a father. So Jesus made the point here. He said, now, this is eternal life. And he says, eternal life is knowing God, knowing Christ. So, buttressing the point that discipleship is not just doing stuff. Now, the second thing is this. Jesus said something to his disciples still about the fact that discipleship is not just primarily doing stuff for God. Now, if you look at Mark chapter 3 verse 14, Mark chapter 3 verse 14, Jesus said something when he picked his disciples. He says in Mark chapter 3 verse 14, he says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. So the first section we see here is this. He didn't just send them out to preach. He didn't just send them out to do stuff for him, so to speak. He started by saying that they might be with him. So the primary thing we need to understand is that in this process of discipleship that we refer to, what's really important is not just doing things. It's being with him first of all. Do you understand? And it's interesting in John chapter 1 verse 39 to 41. John chapter 1 verse 39 to 41. When Jesus met his disciples, he said to them, John chapter 1 verse 39. Jesus said something to his disciples. He says, come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. So we begin to see something about Jesus here as well. The human side of Jesus. Sometimes we're used to seeing Jesus, you know, healing people, preaching the gospel, feeding thousands of people on the... But here it says, Jesus told his disciples, come and see where I live. Come and spend time with me. Do you understand? So this was the first thing that he did with them. He didn't just send them out. He said, come and spend time with me first. So it's just like Jesus coming into the room and saying, you know what? Come and spend time at my house. I'm sure some of us would probably find that a bit strange. That Jesus, why was Jesus interested in that? Jesus actually told the disciples, come and see where I live. Just come and spend time with me. So we begin to see that when Jesus began to disciple his followers, he started from a place of them knowing him. Do you understand? And that's quite important, that God, who created the heavens and the earth, wants to spend time with you and I. Do you understand? God doesn't need anything. He's God. But he's still saying, you know what? Spend time with me so that you can know me. Do you understand? So we begin to see this about God. Now, the third thing I want to mention as well is this. In terms of discipleship. Now, this is one issue that one needs to be quite careful about. The Bible tells us that the only people, or the people who can be disciples, have to be born again. What do I mean by that? What does it mean to be born again? Let's look at John chapter 8 verse 31. John chapter 8 verse 31. Jesus said something in John chapter 8 verse 31. He said, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So the first thing is this. Jesus said, if anyone is going to be his disciple, or if anyone can be his disciple, that person must be born again. That person must have believed in him first. Now, what we see a lot is this. Sometimes you have people who are not born again, and you enroll them in a discipleship. You know, you start trying to disciple them. And after a while, they just get bored. And it's like, you know what? I'm bored. I've had enough of this. Do you know, it's just like, the way I'll put it is this. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, where maybe you've just started in a new school, or you've just started in a new job or something. And you have two people who come to you, and one of them comes to, you know, just, this is an analogy. One of them comes and says, oh, nice that you started school here. Nice that you started work here. And they're just kind of like around you, and it's like, how are you doing? So on and so forth. But something just doesn't connect with, you know, they're being really friendly, but you're not really connecting with them. Do you understand? And they're making all the effort and they're doing all that. And they ring you. Nice that you've joined the office. Nice that you started the school. Now, by the time they've rang you the third time, it's like, oh my goodness. You see their number on the phone. But I know you guys don't do this. You see their number on the phone. It's like, oh, do I take this call or not? Is that funny? Oh. And it's like, it becomes like a big burden. It's like, oh my goodness. Do you understand? On the other hand, there's someone that you meet as well, in the same scenario, same, they look alike, and something connects. You actually know, you know, and it's like, wow, you really want to spend time with them. Now, what makes the difference? What makes the difference? Well, I don't know what makes the difference, actually. But the point I'm just trying to make that is this. In the context of God, that thing that makes the difference, that connection, is being born again. So what you would have is, if one is not born again, I don't know if this is kind of like a really good analogy to make, but, you know, God knows I'm trying to. The analogy is this. Someone is not born again. Do you know what Jesus will become like to you? He'll become like that friend that you think is bothering you. You'll be like, oh my goodness, do I really want to take this call? Do I, you know, and it becomes a bother and you just block their number. You just say, you know what, I'm busy. I don't think I have some homework to do. I have some stuff to do. Why? That connection isn't there. Do you understand? The same thing with discipleship, the same thing with Christ. Christ will become like that, your friend that is bothering you if you're not born again. And you'll get to the point where you might just tolerate them for a while because, you know, you don't want to offend them. You're just new. And once in a while, you will just listen to them. You entertain their questions once in a while so that you don't seem a bit rude. Why? Because that connection isn't there. The same thing with discipleship and Christ. Anyone that is not born again, do you know what that person will do eventually? That person will tolerate Christ. They will tolerate the Bible a bit. And it's like, you know what? Oh, this is really boring. I tell you, this is like, Pastor Benson, I know you're a nice guy and all that, but oh, do I really have to do this? Can't I just... Do you understand? Now, why is that? It's that connection. That's not there. So before one even embarks on wanting to know Christ, one needs to really sit back and say, you know what? Have I really met Christ? Or am I just attending church meetings? Is Christ going to be like that friend that bothers you? Do you understand what I mean? Now, John chapter 3 verse... So if we look at... Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 about being born again. Now, the reason I'm saying this is that I remember before I became born again, I think I became a Christian when I was 20, my mid-20s or something like that. And the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the creation has come, the new creation has come, the old has gone. Another version says, for anyone who is new in Christ, all things have passed away, all things have become new. Being born again, being a Christian. Now, if you look at John chapter 3, verse 3 to 7, John chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. Now, I'll tell you why I'm making this point in a minute. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. And there was a guy that came to Christ and he was like, Jesus, you're a good teacher. These miracles that you do, they're outstanding, so on and so forth. And Jesus just told him something. He said, look, verily I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Then he asks this question. This man, how can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying that you must be born again. So this is talking of an experience with God, where the Bible says we submit our lives to Christ. We give our hearts to Him. The Bible says we turn away from our own sins. We turn away from ourselves and commit our hearts to Christ. At that point, something supernatural happens. Now, the reason I'm saying this, that only someone who has really encountered Christ, who is born again, can become a disciple, is this. I remember a long time ago as well, before I became a Christian in my mid-20s, I mean, at uni, in my first year, I remember the guy who, I was in like a dorm, the guy who was like my roommate, the guy was a Christian. Some of my sisters were, you know, born again. And they would, you know, tell me about, you know, God, so on and so forth. And to be honest, I just said, you know what, people, go to your meetings, do all the bits you need to do, but just... Let me just chill. Do you understand? And sometimes I remember I would just stagger into church because I, you know, just wanted to plead. And it just didn't make sense to me. I was like, I mean, why are these people singing? Why are they clapping? I mean, don't they have anything better to do? But obviously I didn't say that outright. I was smiling. I didn't want to be offensive. And I was like, you know, what are these folks doing? You know, isn't this being a bit too fanatical, all this clapping, all this shouting, all this, you know, can't you guys just calm down? That's what I thought. But something happened to me when I encountered Christ. One day I just walked into a church and someone explained to me what it means to be born again. At that point, I encountered Christ. Something changed. My heart changed. Do you understand? And at that point, I became a fanatic as well, straight out. And I did. I mean, I used to sing and jump and shout, and I became one of the fanatics as well. And I knew that something had happened to me. So this wasn't me. This wasn't me pretending to, you know, to want to know Christ. This wasn't Christ bothering me. You know, it was not like me finding a friend in Christ saying, let's go for it. Let's jump. Let's shout. Let's do all these things. All the meetings. I want to be there. Do you understand? Why? Because I encountered Christ. Do you understand? So it wasn't a burden for me. It wasn't that friend calling me on the phone and looking and saying, you know what, am I going to take this call or not? Let me block their number. No. It was now like, when is my friend going to call? Or me picking up the phone. Hello, friend. How are you doing? You want to grab a coffee or tea in Costa? Tea, Costa. Okay. That, they sell coffee there, don't they? What do you want? Excited. Waking up in the morning and saying, you know what, friend? Let's go out today. Why? Because I encountered Christ in my heart. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? The third thing is that one must be born again to really get to the point where the Christian faith doesn't become something that you do. It's not just attending meetings, but it's encountering Christ from your heart, where you really want to know Him. And it's very simple, the Bible says. It says when we turn away from our sins and commit our hearts to Him and believe, then we encounter Him that way. Do you understand? I remember that because in my working days, I worked in quite a lot of places. And, you know, I remember that, you know, the times that we get to work at on the Monday, and, you know, the general question that you get asked sometimes is, how was your weekend? And everybody's saying, okay, I did this, I did that, I did this and I did that. And I go, my weekend was fantastic. Oh, really? What did you do? Man, I was in church. Yeah. You know? I'm like, yes, I was in church. We had a great time, you know? And you're like, really? Is church like that? I said, yeah, it is. Excited. Do you understand? So we've looked at three things, that the primary aim of discipleship is not just doing stuff, it's knowing God. The other thing is that there's a knowing part of God, where God wants us to spend time with Him as a friend and as a father. Do you understand? I've also said that to come to that place of friendship so that God doesn't become like the person who's bothering you, one needs to give one's heart to Him. Do you understand? Now, what I'm going to do is I'll just look at a number of things as well. So I'm going to use this analogy of friendship here. So I'm telling you about Jesus. I'm telling you about God. So I guess the next thing might be, okay, so wouldn't it be interesting, or wouldn't it be good to have an idea of how God really sees you? Do you know, sometimes when, like, I'm using this analogy of going to a new school or starting a new job, and different people come to you and they're friendly, a number of things might go through your mind, depending. You might say, hang on, that person looks a bit funny. I'm not quite sure about them. Are they speaking to me because they want something from me? They want my pen. That's what they want. That silver pen. I think that's what they want. And when people come to us, we're not quite sure sometimes. Some people, based on their reactions, we might say, this person, I'm not quite sure I want to be their friend. I'm not quite sure they're really interested in me. So you want to know what they're like. What are their thoughts towards you? Now, when we have our human relationships, in times we might know straight away, or sometimes we'll know over time. But I just want to point some things out about Christ as well. Do you know that the first thing is this? God actually wants you to know Him. God wants you to know Him. If we look at a passage in Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 24, Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 24, God was saying something there about what we should really treasure in terms of knowing him. It says, but let the one who boasts about this, that he has the that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So God is saying here that we should be excited about the fact that we know him. We should be excited about the fact that we want to know him. So it says, you know, what you should be excited about is the fact that you know me. Can you imagine? I don't know. I mean, I know when I was much younger, I don't know the celebrities you guys have nowadays. You know, there's so many now. But back in my days, not that I'm that old, I'm still a young guy. We didn't have so many celebrities. We had people like Michael Jackson. Do you guys know who Michael Jackson was? Raise up your hand. Maybe not. So there was Michael Jackson. I mean, in those days, when Michael Jackson is having a concert, people will be fainting, passing out. They'll be taking them out. I don't know if it still happens with them. They'll be passing out just because Michael was singing. And he would sing a song, people will pass out because they were so excited. So can you imagine if in those days someone met Michael Jackson and Michael Jackson even paid them a visit? I'm sure they would tell the whole world. They would tell everyone that, you know what? I know Michael Jackson. He actually came to my house. I know you guys have some celebrities nowadays. Imagine if your favorite celebrity, I know you guys don't have celebrities, came to your house or came to somebody else's house. You're like, wow, this person came to my house. I know them personally, you know. I know what kind of things that they like. And your friends will be saying, really? Are you sure? Did they really come to your house? Do you really know them? I'd be like, yeah, I do. In fact, I have their phone number. I can dial them if you want to have a chat with them. God is saying the same thing. God is not a celebrity, but he's saying that same way, we should be excited about the fact that we know him. Do you understand? He wants us to be excited about the fact that we know him. Now, some other things as well. The second thing about God is this. John chapter 14 verse 27. John chapter 14 verse 27. Jesus said something, and that is, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let it be afraid. So God is saying here that one thing that he wants to give us in this process of discipleship is peace, a supernatural kind of peace. Now, if we look at another one, Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. He begins to say something there as well. In Matthew chapter 11 28, he says, come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So Jesus is saying that in this relationship with him, that as we spend the time with him, he has our interests at heart. The Bible says he wants to give us his supernatural peace. Do you understand? He wants to give us his supernatural rest. And if you look at 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, he also says something there. He says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So we're talking about God who cares for you and I. We're talking about God who wants you to know him so that you can experience what he is truly like. Amen. Now, lastly, if we look at Matthew chapter 19 verse 14, Matthew chapter 19 verse 14, we also see that when it comes to the process of discipleship, when it comes to getting to know Christ, there are no age restrictions as well. And Jesus said something. Jesus said in Matthew 19, 14, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So I'm going to stop here, but Jesus now says something quite interesting. He says discipleship is not just for adults. It's not just for teenagers. It's not just for people who can sit still in church and listen to Pastor Benson for for extended periods of time. No. He says it's available to every single person, even little kids. Do you understand what I mean? So I'm going to stop there today in this section of discipleship that we're looking at, knowing God. So we've seen that knowing God is one of the primary things of discipleship. We've seen that our relationship with God is not just about doing things. We've seen that if we're going to experience discipleship, then one must be born again. And we've also looked at the fact that in this relationship with God, in knowing God, God has our interests at heart. God cares about us. God wants to give us his peace, a supernatural kind of peace. Amen. So I'm just going to end there today, and I'm just going to ask that we all rise together and we pray.